And so we're starting Destiny Unlocked. Just put on the first slide. And we've got a great expectation for the next season. So we want to have communion. We want to commit this time to the Lord, this season to the Lord. Really trusting God to come and unlock our hearts. And we have some lovely testimonies from last week, Sunday. People that were quite powerfully healed. And so I'm going to ask them in a moment to come forward and just to come and share. I just want to quickly show you the next slide. It just speaks of the fivefold ministry model that we subscribe to, in a sense. It's our five missions: the apostolic, the prophetic, the pastoral, the teacher, and the evangelistic. So last week I was sharing about the apostolic, that's demonstration of the kingdom and of power. Okay, that's where people get healed and set free, and where the kingdom reigns in people. Okay, so that's the apostolic on the left, demonstration of the spirit and power. Now, in this next 6 weeks, we're going to be focusing on the prophetic. Power flows from God's presence. So it's a focus on the presence of God, but also a focus on God's voice speaking to us. And then later in the year, we're going to focus more on the pastoral and the teacher and the evangelistic, etc. But there's basically five rivers of grace that flows from the throne of heaven. And we want to position ourselves in the midst of it. Okay, so Yolinda, waar is jy? Kom deel met ons. So last week I was sharing a bit about healing and what God's been doing in India, and then God touched a few people.
Lucky me. No, blessed me, not lucky. I just firstly want to give God all of the glory and praise, because really he's really healed me. Last week Sunday was Mother's Day, and my mom is about 1,200 k's away. My mom-in-law wasn't here, and my husband wasn't here, so I was home alone with my two dogs. So I wasn't on duty at church, so I really didn't want to come to church that day. I was a bit down, and I kept getting all these negative thoughts and stuff that those when you don't want to get out of bed. So the Holy Spirit just told me, you know what, I really have a divine appointment with you today, so please just ignore all of the attacks, see them, and fight against them, and win in this situation. So I'm a very punctual person, and I was 20 minutes late for church. Sorry. But I did come. Then at the end of, nothing really, well, it really was a great sermon. Sorry. Just understand me right. But I wasn't like, yes, that's for me today, you know, that divine appointment. And afterwards, usually there's like word of knowledge when for healing. And you did like a general, like, come forward, anyone who has a problem, anyone. And I thought, you know, I'm going to give the other people a chance today. I'll get my friends to pray with me. I was probably disobedient, but So then after everyone was here, Sonika just jumped out. I don't know everyone who was here. She said, no, she's got a word, and she's not sure who it's for, and it's quite different, but someone fell off a horse and hurt their back. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. So he really spoke to me specifically on Sunday, because in my first year, or between matric and first year, I fell off a horse. First time that I tried riding it, and I fell off. And I really got a hectic back pain there. Like, I wake up about 5 or 6 times every night. If I breathe in deep, I could feel it sting right through me. And Murray had to, got a lovely husband, massage my back every morning and every evening. And then click it every now and then, but I didn't want him to do that too much. And obviously he hasn't been there because he's been away for the weekend since Friday, so my back was really sore on Sunday. I couldn't get any massages from my personal therapist. And we were just praying here, and I couldn't feel like something running down my back and all of that. But when I woke up on Sunday night, and then when Sonika was praying for me, She just addressed so many things that I'm working on and that I'm struggling with without me even mentioning the things. So it was really just so great how God just spoke to me, and he really like made me feel so special on Sunday. And on Sunday night, I woke up again 5 times. But every time, I had absolutely no pain. Like, and I'll taste it this way, and I'll taste it this way. And see, no, then it's impossible. So then on Monday, the pain came back a little bit, but just like slightly, like I really have to turn my back really far before I could even feel something. And then some muscle will start cramping, which wasn't part of the back pain. So it just shows how far I had to push it. And then I realized that the devil was coming back to attack me and saying, it was a lie, whatever, it didn't happen, it can't happen. And every time, God just told me, you know what, see it as a lie. Like, I had an appointment with you, I've healed you. And he didn't have to massage my back once this whole week, and I'm still fine. Like, I can sleep and I don't have pain in the day. I keep thinking, where's my back pain? Where's my back pain? Because all of the time I've got back pain and I don't have back pain. Sometimes I've got like a slight twitch, but that will get better. The worst is absolutely gone. And all glory to God, really. He's just so amazing. So just have faith, man. Just he can really do miracles. Yeah. So.
From the age of 18 to 26, she's had back pain. 8 years. And the Lord has healed her. Amen. Praise God. No, that's a good one. So the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Let's give the Lord another hand. Come on. Jesus heals. And sometimes he just works suddenly. You're like, oh, I don't know. And oh, I'm not going to go forward. And then someone fell off a horse. Oh, I love that. Jesus knows us so well. And then Lilani, is she? Lilani, come. I prayed for her mom on Sunday and for her.
Okay, so I'm pretty new to Shofar for now. So my name's Lilani, for those who don't know me. I'm testifying on two people's behalf, on mine and my mom's, who's unfortunately not here this morning. For me, I play hockey. Okay, so for anyone who plays sport knows how soul-crushing it is when you know that you can't play due to injury. It really is. People who don't play think you're being dramatic, but it's really not. It's the worst thing, sitting on the sideline when everyone else is on the field. It feels like you just let everyone down. And I've been struggling with a knee injury since I was 18 years old. I'm 25 now. And what happened to me, it was beginning of the year, it just got worse all of a sudden. It wasn't a gradual thing. It just suddenly, I couldn't play anymore. I was told, no more hockey, no more squash. I just had to stop everything. And it was something that, it's the worst thing, really. When you're used to being active, when you're used to playing sports, and now someone's telling you, listen, none of that anymore. You got to stop. And I'm a stubborn person, I am, and so I still try to play, and it just made it worse and worse and worse, and eventually I couldn't anymore. I couldn't handle the pain anymore. It was just, it was too much. So I used to go to hockey practice and just sit on the sideline and watch everyone else, and I just thought enough of that. I was here with the first healing service that we had, and I saw people getting healed, and I heard a testimony from a lady, and I was like, you know, God can do that for me too. Why am I any different? And I just thought, I'll make a point of being here at the next service, and I will go up, and I will have God put someone pray over me. And Andrew prayed over me, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go on hockey practice on Tuesday. I'm going to go with my kids, and I'm going to practice. And I'm going to run harder than I've ever run before, and I'm going to play harder than I've ever played before. And I did, and I didn't experience any pain. At no point did I feel like I needed to stop. At no point was I was fine. But what happened was, after the next day, I experienced a bit of pain, and immediately I thought, but what is this now? And I was just reminded of, you know what, Satan, don't come with your lies to me now. You know, my God is stronger than this. And I committed to playing a game on Friday night. And I thought kind of like, am I supposed to be playing? Should I be playing? Am I going to make it worse? Then I thought, no. I was reminded of, if anyone's ever watched the movie Facing the Giants, there's an old man who shares a testimony and he says, two farmers prayed for rain and only one went and prepared the crop, which one got the rain? So I thought, I'm going to commit to playing. I don't care if there's a bit of pain. I don't care because I know that I will be fine during that game. I will prepare the crop by going and being on the field. And I played. People still told me, listen, if you need to come off at some point, we understand, it's fine. We understand you have an injury. And at no point did I go off. I lost it the whole game. I was perfectly fine. And, yeah, even though I still have a little bit of pain coming back now, I know that I can go to practice on Tuesday and I'll be fine. So, yeah, got really, really healed there. And, yeah. From my mom's side, which is really special, I kind of had to force her to come. She's not a person for new things, really. And, you know, she's been going to the same church for years and years. And when I tell her, listen, please come here. It was a bit of a struggle, but I think she could see how I was convinced that God could do something for her, too. My mom has glaucoma. Now, for those who don't know what glaucoma is, you're gradually going blind. It's an incurable disease at the moment. What the vision that you've lost permanently. Well, that's what doctors say. You'd never get that vision back. No matter what op they do or anything, that vision is lost. Now, my mom is at a stage where it's getting a bit dangerous, where it could happen at any point. And so that's why it was very important for me that she comes. Now, for those who've known me a few years ago, you know that I'm not an emotional person. But, you know, as Ezekiel says, God takes your heart of stone and he gives you a heart of flesh. And God took my heart of stone and I cry all the time now. I really do. It's a bit terrible. And so what happened is I had to physically drag my mom up here because I just believed that something could happen for her. And Andre prayed over her, and the first time nothing happened, and prayed again, and he prayed again. And my mom took her glasses off, and she said she sees better without them. When we got home, now, it's quite funny, on my mom's phone, you've got to put it on the biggest font size, because otherwise she can't read anything. And that's with her glasses. So I changed it back to about a mid-sized font, and she took her glasses off, and she read all of her messages to me. She could read all of it. Which medically should be impossible because the vision she's lost is lost permanently. But she could see. So even though I had a mini heart attack when Andre asked me to speak this morning, I was reminded that God heals and I'll be fine here. So I just want, if you've ever doubted, it's just about having faith. I feel like sometimes you stand when you have hope. Hope is not the same as faith. Hope is you hoping you'd be healed, but faith is knowing you will. My mom went for an eye scan on Friday. I asked her, she can't get the results yet, it needs to be a week or two. I asked her how she felt about it. She said she doesn't need a doctor to tell her what she already knows. And that's having faith, all right? It's not hoping. She's not hoping she's healed. She knows. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Is that good or what? I prayed for her mom, and I could see she wasn't expecting anything. She was dragged up there, yeah, by Lelani. So I'm saying, ah, no, man, let's just pray. And then she said, ah, die Here weet. It's like, no, let's pray again. No, nothing. Ah, die Here weet. Yeah, let's pray again. Then she took off her glasses, and she tested, and said, I'm seeing better without my glasses. And with my glasses, and then the tears started to run down her face, and she started to praise Jesus. Jesus is alive. Jesus heals. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. And so if Jesus is still healing, if he's alive, maybe he's speaking as well still. Do you think he's still speaking? Yes, he is. We do not serve a dead God. We don't serve dead religion where you do your little thing and you just go on with life. There's interaction with a God who's alive. And so for me, that's so beautiful while the Lord touched Lelani and her mom. It's just the start, people. the Lord spoke to us, this is just warm up. This is just warm up of what He's going to do. He's going to really blow our minds as we encounter Him. And that's what we're trusting for the next 6 weeks, that each and every one of us will encounter God in a way that we say, I've met Him. He has spoken to me. I have heard His voice. And so we're trusting for destinies to be unlocked. And for those who don't know, we're reaching out in Southernwood to students there. We want to plant a church there. And so we have some of the students here this morning. So let's give them a hand. You are very welcome. You are very welcome. We're very excited at what God is doing. Our God is amazing. So I'm going to show you another video clip. But this video clip is it's about animals that ate too much fast food and they became fat. And so I want to show you what we're going to turn around over the next 6 weeks. We're going to make you lean and mean machines. Get off the spiritual fat and really get our spiritual muscles going. Okay. And you are allowed to laugh. I thought that was quite funny. Okay, so it's time to shake off that extra spiritual fat and to get focused and effective. Okay, so that's the purpose of this, of the next 5-6 weeks. We'll unlock our destinies and really, really get going. Okay, so destiny unlocked. This is what Jesus does. He unlocks us, our potential, what He's placed within us. For those who haven't seen it, it's a messed up world. And what happens is, each and every one of us, it's called sin. Sin is all in all over the world. And so each of us are born in sin. And what happens is you put on glasses, cracked glasses. You get born with cracked vision. Everywhere you look, you see the crack. So it's affected our vision. It's affected the way we look at ourselves. It's affected the way we look at other people. And yet then when Jesus steps onto the scene, He turns it around. He mends the cracked glasses. And He gives us true vision so that we can see. I mean, Jesus appears at the age of 30 and He goes to 12 useless nobodies, zeros. As it's been called, zeros. Guys who didn't believe in themselves, guys who didn't know what they can do, didn't know who they are. And yet Jesus stepped onto the scene and He unlocked their destinies. And He wants to do the same with you and me. Those same 12 nobodies, they flipped the world around. And that's what Jesus is still doing. He steps into our lives And he shows you, you thought you knew yourself. You don't. You see, it's like a car. The designer of the car actually knows what the purpose of the vehicle is. So if you think this new Mercedes C-Class, it's there for plowing. Herman, it's made for plowing. It's to go there through the dongas. Probably not, eh? It's made for the open road. It's made for the open road. And so if you don't know actually what the purpose of the vehicle is, you're going to mess it up. You're going to misapply it. I'm amazed over the last few years how I've seen how God has come to flip people's lives around. Even in our life group, yeah, I love life group. Every term has really been so good. But it's especially when we come to the time where we pray for one another. This one evening we set aside and we pray over each person. And I see it again in the eyes. I have no expectation. And then God starts speaking. And then the tears flow. And it's as if the person forgets that there's people here. It's as if God is downloading true identity to them. It is so beautiful. It's beautiful when God speaks. And so it's incredible to see the change in people's lives when Jesus steps into their lives. Okay, so that's our prayer for this 6 weeks, that Jesus is going to step into your life and you're going to see who you really are. About 2 years ago, we started to pursue the prophetic, meaning, God, we want to hear your voice and we want you to speak. And it has flipped my life around in huge ways. So I want to use Genesis chapter 15 as our text for the morning. So if you have your Bible here, you probably don't, because we normally read from the screen. But if you have your Bible here, you can turn to Genesis chapter 15. And it's about Abram. Now, Abram was a guy that you can see the same scenario. God just suddenly appears to him and calls him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. And he says to him, Abram, go out. I have a plan for your life. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? You probably don't really know it. Because when God actually starts to unfold his plan for you, you stand amazed. You'll just be shocked at his goodness for you. So God has a plan for our lives. As with Abram, Abram was a nobody guy living in Ur. God called him out and God started to walk a journey with him. And so God started to give him promises. He said, Abram, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. I'm going to bless them through you. And so there was this journey, but they had this problem. They didn't have kids. And this was bugging him and was getting old and Sarah was getting older and it's like, it's almost game over, you know? And then God appears to him in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1. It says there, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. Okay, so first thing, vision. Let's say it. Say vision. Okay, we're going to get back to it. Vision. It's biblical. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abram counters. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. It's almost like getting God. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. He's like frustrated. And behold, again, the word of the Lord came to him. Let's say that. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside. That's beautiful. Then God brought Abram outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. So this is amazing. So God speaks to him twice. It says, the word of the Lord comes to Abram. The word of the Lord comes to Abram. Then he brings him out and he says, Abram, look up. Now it's probably, he says, look up. And there probably weren't a lot of lights around, so he could beautifully see all the stars in the sky. And so God says, see that, see the stars and know, so shall your descendants be. So God is like walking him on a journey to this. And I see we haven't had communion yet. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan, the sovereign plan of God, that we're going to have communion right now. Glory to God. I got so distracted with people getting healed. So we want to commit the next 5-6 weeks to the Lord. As I said, we're trusting that God will unlock our identities and our destinies, that you will hear his voice speaking to you. I think it's one of the most precious things as a believer, to hear the voice of God. It's incredible. And so, Lord, we just welcome your Holy Spirit here. We welcome your presence, Lord. My heart's come alive. May a revival happen on the inside of us. For each of us, Lord, a revival, an awakening on the inside of us. You are the Lord, our healer. You are the Lord, our deliverer. You are the Lord, our Savior. And God, we thank you. You're the God who leads us forth. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Back to the verse. Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6. A word unlocks our hearts. I've said this before, but if you are battling with anything, there's a mountain in front of you, you're wrestling with hopelessness, you're battling with despair, you have an area of your life that's wrestling, it's not working, it's like you don't know how this is going to turn around. What should you do? What should you do? Freak out! Ask God for a word. You need a word. The word unlocks. The word of God is the solution. You need a word for your workplace. You need a word for your marriage. You need a word for your children. You need a word, because a word unlocks us on the inside. It releases faith in us. Even as last week, Sonica had this word of someone fell off a horse. You've injured your back. That's a word. And that unlocks faith for healing. In the same way, when the word of God comes, it releases faith. You see, God does not respond to our need. He responds to our faith. And you can only have faith through the word of God. But not just a scripture. It's a scripture that the Holy Spirit has breathed upon. So it can be a scripture. It can be Genesis 15. The Holy Spirit can take you to Genesis 15 and speak to you and say, this is my word for your life right now. And so the Holy Spirit can unlock that for you, build up your faith, and then you start trusting God. So you need a word. And so we want to teach you how to hear the voice of God. The life groups are going to be extremely practical to activate us in that. But a word from God is like a key. Let's say that. Say key. It's a key. It's a key. It's a key that unlocks your heart, and it's a key that unlocks your circumstances. There are so many aspects of my life where if you would have looked at the facts, you would freak out. It's like, doesn't look good. But I had a word. God says this. So his word is higher than the facts. So you need a word to unlock. It's a key. So each of us, you are a treasure chest. You are a treasure chest. There's treasure on the inside of you and of each of us. This incredible potential. But only the one who made you, who caused you to be, can unlock your heart to reveal that to you. I was amazed at the age of 18 how clueless I was. I didn't know myself at all. Even at the age of 22, 23, 24, 25, I think even 2 years ago, I still didn't really know myself until God started to reveal to me who I am. And that gives you a new level of confidence. Okay, so the key unlocks the heart. A key unlocks the treasure on the inside of us. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make junk. I believe the enemy's biggest, one of his biggest lies is to tell us, you're a nobody. Yeah, you're nice. You're not horrible. But God's not going to do great things through you. You know, maybe other believers, maybe other people, but not you. Do you know how big a lie that is? Because you have no expectation anymore. You won't seek Him with everything within you. You fall back to second-rate Christianity. Just don't sin. Because that's bad. I've heard. The pastor said that's bad. Don't sin. So that's what your life as a Christian becomes. Just don't sin. Do you know what's going to happen? You're going to sin. Because when you try not to sin, you're going to sin. But when your heart is on fire with the purpose of God, and you seek Him with everything within you because you realize, I am a carrier of the kingdom. I'm a carrier of His presence. Through my life, lives are going to change. Everything's different. You start seeking Him. You don't get up in the morning and think, oh, I must read my Bible. It's like, oh, I want to spend some time with Jesus because today people are going to encounter God through me. And I want to be connected so the life of God can flow through me. So what type of Christianity are you living? Don't sin. That's terribly boring. Change the world. Woo! Now that excites me. One person at a time. It was amazing for us. Now in India, it was, I have never experienced any ministry like that in that week. We had 9 meetings. And every meeting was like, except the Sunday night, but every other meeting was next level. Next level. It's like, oh, we're just not a meeting. It just felt next level. And it felt next level every time. We would pray for the pastors. I mean, the same pastors we were with last year. Same pastor. This time, well, we pray for those pastors. They can hardly stand under the power of God coming upon them and the tears streaming down their face as they have an encounter with the living God. Isn't that what we're called to do? Touch me and encounter the living God. Oh, that's a beautiful, one guy said it. In the Old Testament, if you touched a leper, you were unclean. In the New Testament, you touch a leper, they become clean. I like that. Completely different. So many of us are still living in the Old Testament paradigm. Just don't sin. Woo! Man, don't go near those people. They're going to defile you. No. It's like if you go to a hotel and you wonder, what has happened in this bed? So you want to like pray blessing, break every curse. There's another level of living. It's like, man, the next person that's going to lie in this bed, they're going to encounter Jesus because I've slept in this bed. But we so live in the Old Testament paradigm. New Testament paradigm, Jesus, wherever Jesus went, life went. Jesus lives in us. Do you know that? He lives in you. So I it was so amazing when we were praying for these pastors. Because I felt before the time the Lord said, go minister to the leaders. And we were influencing churches. We at the Saturday afternoon, we met with the one leader of a church of 1,000 churches. Church, 1,000 churches. A group. And God had a share with them and influenced them and blessed them. So God is thinking much bigger than you and I. Okay, let's say it. I'm not junk. I have a great destiny. Amen. When you start believing it, you're going to start seeing it. Amen. But anyway, so God appeared to Abram and he brought him outside. He brought him outside. It's like he was in the tent or wherever he was. And he brought him outside. And then he said, Abram, look up. Let me read that again. Then he brought him outside, verse 5, and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. But so beautiful, it says, he brought him out. Do you know we so easily get caught up in our circumstances? You know, you go to, say you're a teacher or a student, you go to school, you know, we go to work and we allow the people to define who we are. We allow the people to define who we are. We look at how they respond to us. Do they treat us as great men and women? If they don't, then we start receiving that and making it our personal identity. And you must shake that off. You must come out from your circumstances in your heart at the very least and allow God to tell you to define you. That's what God wants to do. But Abram was like struggling, God, I have no children. God, what are you thinking? This isn't working. And I think some of us are doing the same. We say, God, all our excuses, but. God is wanting to take you out and say, now look up. Look to heaven. Allow heaven to define your identity. You are a painting. Did you know that? You are a painting. Your heart is a painting of God's will for the world. He first paints it on the inside of you before he can release it into the world. So God comes and he paints his purposes on the inside of us. He downloads his heart, his will, his passion. God paints his beauty first within us before he paints it without. And so this is why it's so important for us to receive this. Your imagination. A few weeks ago, the Lord just really spoke to me and said to me, you underestimate the power of your imagination. Some of us are saying, yo, I wish I would stop sinning. I'm so battling with all this sin in my life. Maybe you're saying that. Do you know if you win your imagination, you'll win the battle for your sin, for the sin in your life. It's what's living on in here, in your imagination. God wants to captivate your imagination. If he grabs your imagination, he knows he will have the rest of you. That's why this world bombards us with marketing. And that's why God doesn't just tell Abram, your descendants are going to be many. He brings him out and he says, Abram, look up. What's he showing him? A picture. Stars. Saying, Abram, look up. And every night you step outside and you look up. Allow this to captivate your imagination. Allow this to live on the inside of you. Because if this will live on the inside of you, faith will be released. And then my purposes will be released. And I believe that's where there's such a wrestling for our imaginations. Your imagination is like the front porch of your house. The front porch of your heart. Everything must go in there, or everything must at some stage go in there or go out there. So in other words, if goodness and good pictures and God pictures live in your imagination, that's what you're gonna birth that into the world. But if evil and ungodly pictures reign in that area in the front porch of your soul, of your heart, that's gonna reign in your body. I can't go to all the scriptures now, but there's loads of scriptures that speaks of it. That just says guard your heart. Okay, but a prophecy. What is a prophecy? A prophecy is a word that captivates the imagination. That captivates the imagination and unlocks the treasures of our hearts. A prophecy is a word from God that captivates your imagination and unlocks your heart. That's why God speaks in pictures. It's like with the one picture we had about this graph. We experienced over this week in India. Every meeting, it felt like, whoa, next level. Whoa, next level. Whoa, next level. And the one person had this word while we were praying. They saw a graph just going up. I've stuck that to my wall. Every time I walk into my office, I see the graph And I declare the word of God, it's just going to increase. It's just going to increase. Just more of God, more of His goodness, more of His kindness. So it's captivating. I'm allowing it to captivate my imagination, allowing it to captivate my heart. Or you're going to just look at the facts and get depressed. So I choose to be captivated. So a word that captivates the imagination and unlocks the treasures of our hearts. You are a gift to this world. The word of God must captivate you to release that. Then hope is a vision that is painted by God on the canvas of our imaginations. Hope is a vision that is painted by God on the canvas of our imaginations. Are you afraid? What's being painted on your imagination? Fearful things, most probably. And so it's producing, I am afraid. Because that's what's living in your imagination. You're seeing pictures of things going wrong. You're seeing pictures of this happening. And so that's being painted on the canvas of your imagination. And so what are you experiencing? Fear. You're afraid. You're stressed. You're worried. You're seeing, oh, not going to make the deadline. Oh, that's going to happen. Oh, my children. Oh, my husband. Oh, this. Oh, see, that's all you're seeing. And so fear manifests in your life. We underestimate the power of our imagination. And so what burning vision are you holding on to? And we're trusting over these 6 weeks that God's going to download a God vision to you. You see, you won't see it until you see it. You won't see things happening in the natural until you see it in the spiritual. So God first puts His word on the inside of you like a seed, and it grows and it grows, and then it manifests in real life. I mean, that's what happened to Abram. God showed him a picture of stars, and he would have seen the stars over and over again. So Abram was seeing. But then God also changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham, father of nations. So he was seeing stars in a good way, seeing stars, and he was also speaking. I am the father of nations. Hello, hi, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of nations. How radical if we start doing that. Every time you meet someone, say, who are you? You start declaring your, well, God has said, that would be weird. That would be weird. But you won't see it until you see it in here, in your heart, in your imagination. What are you seeing? Are you seeing hopelessness? Are you seeing despair? Are you seeing fear? Are you seeing this isn't going to change? Because if that's what you're seeing, it can't really change. Unless you bring it to God, you acknowledge, God, I am allowing ungodly things into my imagination. Lord, turn this around. So your heart is a birthing place. Let's say it, birthing place. Birthing place. So now the Holy Spirit, just quickly, what is the primary work of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 19. Because there's lots of people with different ideas about the Holy Spirit. There are many churches and many Christians that they acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but they don't acknowledge the primary work of the Holy Spirit. So I want to show you, according to this verse, what is the primary work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he has an Old Testament word. The prophet received the word of the Lord, spoke of what is going to come. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. So I'm going to pour out my spirit. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants, my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Or cry. But so it reveals here in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, it says, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and the working of my spirit will be the following. You're going to prophesy. You're going to have visions. You're going to have dreams. Do you know why this is quite challenging? Because there's a big part of the body of Christ that, in a sense, completely denies it. Do you know that? A big part of the body of Christ denies it. There are, I've found, sometimes people will become intellectually proud where they actually say, "Ah, visions, it's rubbish. Prophecy's rubbish." You know? I think there's a part of the body of Christ that jokes about the primary working of the Holy Spirit and actually mocks. I think let's not do that. The Word of God says, "I'm going to pour out my Spirit, and the result of my Spirit resting upon you is prophecy, a word from God to someone. Visions, pictures in your mind's eye, in your imagination that are inspired by the Holy Spirit that speaks the will of God. Dreams, as you sleep at night, God downloads. It's like linking up with heaven, and God downloads His will and His heart for your life." Okay, so that is what it says, the primary working of the Holy Spirit. So I quickly want to do it practical. Close your eyes. I want you to see a pink elephant. A pink elephant. Do you see it? You see the pink elephant? Okay, thank you. You can look at me. You have seen the pink elephant. If you have, raise your hand. Okay, wonderful. Is that a word from God? No. That is your imagination, and I have triggered something, and so you've pictured it on the canvas of your imagination. On that same canvas, the Holy Spirit comes and speaks, and you learn to discern that's the voice of God, and then you can respond to it. You see, now when I go watch movies, especially Spider-Man movies, all I'm seeing is Spider-Man running around. I don't see pink elephants. I just see Spider-Man jumping around. Is that just me? Just me. But we need to be aware of what's happening on that canvas, because that is defining. And God wants to captivate our imaginations. Let's not underestimate the power of our imagination. It is the birthplace of faith, a sanctified imagination. It is the womb for the purposes of God. It is the access point for God's kingdom to enter the earth. Do you know that? You are the access point to God, for God's kingdom to enter the earth. He comes and settles here first in your heart and mind, and then He enters the world. Your heart, your physical heart, it takes oxygen to the rest of your body. And so your spiritual heart is the seat, or your imagination is the core of that heart. And whatever is there gets pumped to the rest of your being. So if your heart is sick, your physical heart, it will pump whatever is there to the rest of the body in the same way. Your emotional, physical, or your emotional, spiritual heart will also pump to the rest of your being. So if there's good stuff there, life flows. If there's poison there, poison will flow. So you need to protect your imagination. And I believe that's why pornography is such a massive issue for our society currently. It's blocking God's ability to come and captivate our imaginations, because the enemy is trying to captivate it with other stuff. So we need to break free from it. You cannot have your imagination captivated by pornography and stuff like that and say, "I want to see the kingdom come." You're deceived. Speak to someone. Get help. Get help. Sort it out. God paints His story in your imagination, or the devil does his illegal graffiti. Illegal graffiti or God's story. You must decide. Someone has said television. Another name for it, hellavision. It's not far off, would you say? Huh? Not far off. And I'm not saying no TV and no this, no that. It probably won't work in any case. But what I'm saying is, get a true vision from God. A burning vision from God for your life of what He has purposed you to. Do you know that what the result will be? Probably less TV. And definitely less rubbish. Be careful what you're watching. Some stuff is really, it defiles the heart and the mind. Okay, just want to end off with this. Genesis 15, the first bit there, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." That is the key, ultimate destiny. What is our ultimate destiny? Seeing miracles happen? Seeing the kingdom come? Is that our ultimate destiny? No. God speaks to Abram and said, "Abram, I am your shield, I'm your protection. But more than that, I am your exceedingly great reward." While we were in India, I mean, we had 139 people healed. We had incredible prophetic words over people, words of knowledge. We had people coming to Christ. It was just amazing. And every day we would just spend a few hours, 1, 2, 3, 4 hours, just worshiping God as a team. And I was sitting there, I'm thinking, God, this is the best. This is where I want to live. Miracles? Awesome. Praise God. Lord, go do more. But Lord, for me, I just want you. I just want you. The miracles doesn't fulfill me. It is God Himself that fulfills. I mean, God can come and do the most incredible things. I've dreamed of what could happen. You know, what could God do over the next 50 years? It could be absolutely mind-boggling. I'm not that excited about that as I am about knowing Jesus. Honestly. Honestly. The more miracles I see, the more I fall in love with Jesus. God, I just want you. You are my exceedingly great reward. So this is critical. You need to get your priorities straight. Do you want destiny so you can be someone? Or do you want to know Him? But you need to have destiny to know Him. Because while you pursue your destiny, you sort of bump into Him over and over again. And so that's what we must pursue. Ultimate destiny. He is our reward. And this is my prayer for us, even as we do the 5-6 weeks in the life groups, that you would fall in love with Jesus. I mean, as a team, when we are praying, worshiping every day, I'm thinking, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I just want to spend time with Jesus. And then I want to go to a meeting and just overflow the goodness and the love of God. It is that easy. So many of us are trying to do stuff in our own ability because we're not spending that time with God. We're not spending that time with God where He fills us up. Overflow. Overflow. Let's say that. Overflow. Overflow. And so you and I need to have the power of godly meditation, quieting the soul, removing all distractions, and allowing the Holy Spirit to brood on a word, a dream, a vision, and to imprint it on our hearts, the canvas of our mind's eye, till it becomes our all-encompassing reality. In other words, you want to take the Word of God and so fill your heart and your mind and your being with that Word that it becomes your all-encompassing reality. And then it will manifest in the natural as well. I hope that makes sense. But it must first be in the Spirit. It becomes your all-encompassing reality. You must first see it before you see it. And for that, you must take that Word and make it your own. So do you set aside time in the mornings or in the evenings? Do you have that time of just quieting your soul, taking out Scripture, just meditating, allow it to soak your thinking, your whole being? If you don't spend time with Jesus, can I be honest? I have no hope for you. That is where everything flows from. You must spend time with Jesus. If I don't spend time with my wife, this relationship will fall apart. Just send her a WhatsApp once every year. How's it, babe? How's it going? It's probably not going to work. There's no hope for our relationship. In the same way, our relationship with Jesus, you must spend time with Him. You must shut off some distractions. It is the most amazing. It is heaven on earth. It is heaven on earth to spend time in the presence of God. I am absolutely addicted to that. It is my lifeline. It is my source. It is my everything. Everything flows from there. You must spend time with Jesus.